Another show that I need you to check out is happening at the Chicago Theater on Friday, December 7th. Now, I know we haven't hit Thanksgiving yet, but a lot of people are thinking Christmas already, and one of them happens to be on the phone with us. She is a regular on the show, well, becoming a regular, and we love her. Saxophonist, vocalist, songwriter, and outstanding performer, Mindy Hebert. Mindy, you with us?
I am. Thanks for having me on again. Man, I'd love to hang out with you.
You are welcome anytime. You're just so much fun, both on stage and off. You're a trip.
You're awesome. No, I'm just singing along with do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. I want to go to that show. Come on.
I think you should. I think we should all go. Now, you've got a new album out, a holiday album. Now, last year when you were on, you had just done Run, Rudolph, Run. And we wound up picking that up just before Christmas and playing it here a few times. And now you get a full album out, including that version of Run, Rudolph, Run that you did last year. Now, why a Christmas album?
You know, Rudolph was just a teaser for the whole Christmas CD. And I, you know, some people hate Christmas music. Mm-hmm. I am that person that just loves it. And I always have. I mean, from the time I was a little kid, I always loved singing the songs. I think it's, you know, that innocent, amazing time, and all the songs are just this innocent, fun stuff, and the melodies are great, and I just always loved it. So, you know, I talked to the guys in the band and just went, come on, could we do this? I mean, do a few songs that everyone knows and loves, but, you know, we're Mindy Hebert and the Bone Shakers. Let's bone shakerize them. Let's make them our own.
You definitely do that.
Yeah, and then we wrote a couple, too. So, you know, it was the best of all worlds.
Now, last time you were on, the East-West Sessions, I think, were still fairly new, and you were touring behind it. Yeah. Of course, you came to Memorial Opera House here. You played downtown at the City Winery and a few other places. What's been going on? Have you had a break? I mean, you seem to be on the road an awful lot, and I know you got a big fest coming up that we're going to talk about. But what's it been like for the last several months since I talked to you last?
Oh my gosh, we have not stopped. I mean, we took a little break for 2 days and recorded the Christmas record. But, I mean, apart from that, we've just been going and we've been having so much fun. I mean, we just got off the legendary blues cruise and we were just on there, you know, sitting in with some of our, you know, heroes. It was just so fun to be on there with Taj Mahal and Reverend Peyton's Big Damn Band and, you know, all these just amazing people, Tab Benoit and Mike Zito and all these guys. It was really, really fun. And besides that, we've been out on the road with us. And we've played everything from, you know, City Winery in Chicago to a barn out in New York to, you know, a huge festival in my hometown, Clearwater. And we're just making our way around. And it's just been, it's been great. It's fun when you're, you know, making music with people you love. And so we're just continuing it. I mean, we're literally going to start working on a new record in January. And we're touring right up until it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I like being on the road and I like being busy. It's a good thing.
When did you find time to write the new music? Or do you guys write on the road or do you work it out during sound checks? When's the magic happen?
Magic kind of happens at crazy times. I mean, we were just in Atlanta doing a show, and so I spent a couple extra days and stayed with a friend and just kind of wrote with some friends there. And same with Nashville. We were playing Louisville, Bourbon and Beyond, this huge, huge music festival. And so I went over to Nashville and spent a couple days there and wrote with some people that, I mean, some of them I had never met, and then some of them were friends. But, you know, I always try and just kind of make time to write, you know, kind of think of it as, hey, this is our job too. And you kind of do have to clock in sometimes. Sometimes, you know, it doesn't just hit you out of the blue every time. So sometimes it does, but I like to give it that time that, hey, I got a couple of days to write. Let's see what comes out. And the band and I, you know, at sound checks, it's always fun to see what happens. I've got my iPhone out and I record parts of sound check. I'm like, okay, that's going on the new record. Whatever that's going to become, that's cool.
So are all the tunes written for this already? Are you ready to get in there and start doing it after the holidays?
You know, I don't think we have all of them yet. And there are still a couple songs I haven't written lyrics to that we've kind of written the music and come up with a vibe for. But I always go to the last minute. And, you know, our good friend Jim Peterick is kind of the best songwriter on the planet. You know, I'm just going out on a limb for that one.
So is Jimmy writing with you on this? Are you going to have some of his stuff? Okay.
You know, we've got a couple of our older songs that I'm looking at going, I think they're perfect for this one. But I want more. So literally, I'm coming out there to do world stage with him in January and play with him and spend a couple of days and write, like, right before we go in the studio. Because I always think it's, you know, that magical time right before you go in and you're kind of like, I need that great song. I need to beat all the great songs we've already written and write that amazing one. So I'm going in with him with that energy.
Now, you've been to Jam Lab, the new studio that his son Colin has, correct?
It's awesome.
Isn't it? I just did the grand opening party there. It was a Man Cow was there and Jimmy San, some Shadows of Night, and all the Ides played, and Jim did his thing. And what an amazing facility, and what a great place to work and write. I mean, if you're coming to town, that's the place to camp out for a while.
It is. It's just a vibe, and, you know, no one's going to know you're there because you kind of look outside.
It's like an industrial park or something there. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, you'd never know. So it's that scenario where, hey, you're in the middle of this cool town and you could do whatever you want, but no one knows you're there and you're not going to get disturbed and, you know, you're not going to get preoccupied with something. You can really just go at it and you've got great equipment and, you know, obviously they're the nicest people in the world to deal with, so it's great.
Right. Now, how long has the Christmas album been out, or is it officially out yet?
Okay, it came out last week.
Okay.
And so we just debuted on the Billboard Blues charts. We're number 7 this week. So,
excellent.
You know, I kind of thought when we decided on the street date of the record, October 26th, who's going to be thinking about Christmas October 26th? Mm-hmm. But everyone decided, no, you're supposed to put it out early so that, you know, it's kind of out there when people start thinking about it. But it seemed very unnatural. So for it to chart number 7, you know, in the Octobers and Novembers of the world, I think that's pretty awesome that anyone can think about Christmas this early.
Right.
But I'm starting to get into the spirit. It's good.
Now, the cover is interesting. It's definitely not a Christmas cover. It's got the skull on it, the Bone Shaker's skull, and it's like a blood red and like tannish pink cover. No photos, no Santa hats, no jingle bells, no reindeers. Kind of an ominous cover. So it kind of fits with the Halloween release date when the music inside is definitely Christmas. So tell me about the cover. Do you think that's going to help or hurt sales when people start thinking of Santa Claus?
Of the holidays.
Yeah.
You know what? It is the Bone Shakers, and the logo for the Bone Shakers has always been that skull. And I've always loved that skull for the Bone Shakers. And we've put it on every one of our records somewhere. And so for this record, I just thought, how great would it be to have a skull in the middle of kind of an old school, you know, Christmas setting? There's a little holly on the side of it. And it's, you know, definitely like a retro 20s, 30s kind of, you know, artwork kind of thing with the holly and, you know, all of that. So I just thought, how cool would it be just to have something as simplistic as an old school skull in the Christmas setting. And I just, you know, when we made the record, it was pretty rockin' and it's pretty down home. And it's not your father's Christmas record where there's a bunch of bells on it and it's all easygoing. And, you know, it's really fun and high energy. And I just thought, you know what? We shouldn't have a picture of us with Santa hats, and we shouldn't have the picture with the snow, and it doesn't feel like that. It feels like the skull should have holly around it, and so I went with my gut. And, you know, it may sell us records, and it may prevent some record sales, but I like my little Christmas skull.
I agree, and I think the music will sell the record, and with that, let's play the first single off it, which happens to be the title track, and the lead track. All I Got for Christmas is the Blues, and all you are going to get for Christmas for me is Mindy Hebert albums, because I'm going to buy some of these and give them out as gifts. all I got for Christmas is the blues. Christmas is a time when a lot of people get the blues. And like Mindy said, that is not your daddy's Christmas album. That is a rockin' release. And this whole album actually has kind of that groove. It's nothing less than you would expect from the Bone Shakers. And Bone Shakers were around, and Mindy was around. And fortunately for music fans, they merged. It was kind of like peanut butter and chocolate, you know, of the music world. And it's a tasty combination. And Mindy, you've done the last couple albums now with the Bone Shakers and Randy. And is this a formal thing now? Are you guys going to continue on as a complete unit?
Absolutely. You know what? We just have fun. Music's supposed to be this. And we've all been around long enough to know when it's right and when it's wrong. And boy, when it's right, it's just so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the coming together of forces, it was pretty organic at the beginning. I mean, Randy and I had played together for over 20 years, and I'd always been a fan of his band, the Bone Shakers. I mean, they came right out of Was Not Was and Bonnie Raitt's band, and it was awesome. It was blues rock, but, you know, cut to a bunch of years later, half of my band's playing in the Bone Shakers, and Randy's playing with me. It seemed right, but the coming together of our name and making music together, it's a blast.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we've definitely said, this is it. Let's do this. Let's just go full steam ahead. And we are Mindy Hebert and the Bone Shakers. And so we're having a good time. So, yeah, this next record that we'll be doing in January together, another Mindy Hebert and the Bone Shakers record. It's too much fun. Can't stop.
All right. The song we just played, as I said, is the first single. Now, you have released that as a 45 vinyl, a collectible. I believe it's colored vinyl. Is that correct?
It's red vinyl.
Okay.
That's Christmassy. Come on.
Or it could be Halloween blood. You never know.
It could be. I mean, you know, take it for what it's worth. Yeah, whatever.
What's the flip side?
The flip side is the best part of Christmas.
Okay.
And we really took it from, you know, all these great singles from way back. You know, you'd have one song on the A side that was, you know, that song that's so representative of the record. And then on the B side, it was, you know, something completely different. So we took our one and only ballad and put it on there. And I think it's really cool. It's a cool, just, you know, yin yang.
Okay, now let's talk about vinyl. This is a 45 vinyl. I don't see on your website that you're selling LP vinyl yet. I got to wonder, are you planning on it? And if not for this album, for some of the earlier albums, you're going to repress them because, as you know, I opened a record store recently. Vinyl is back, and I've got a lot of people that come in and they're looking for older titles from artists on vinyl. Are you going to do the 180-gram treatment to any of these?
You know what? I love that you just asked that because we're making a vinyl pressing that's going to be really limited edition, and we're doing it of East West Sessions, which was our last record together. It's going to come out in February,
okay.
And I'm just psyched because this Christmas single, this is the first time we've done vinyl, and I just wanted to, you know, make it fun, and we're out on a Christmas tour, so we're going to bring them out with us. I thought they were great gifts. And it was a great kind of entree into the vinyl world.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, our lead song in our last record is called
Was Vinyl. Yeah, scratchy records and everything, man. That's what made me think about it. It's like, you got to do vinyl. You sang about it.
Yep, exactly. So we're doing vinyl, full-length record, limited edition. So it'll be great. I'm so happy. So we got to stock up your record store with those.
We got to. I still got to get you down there at some point to see it. Next time maybe you're out here with Jimmy, if you got a couple of days, we'll bring you down here to Hoosier Land, and you can take a peek at it. We're not far from where you played at the Chicago Street Theater, so.
Yeah.
Or, I'm sorry, Memorial Opera House.
Yeah, and we may be going back there next year. We're talking to them about another date next year, so we'll see, you know, when and where, when and how that, you know, that will happen, but, you know, I'm holding my breath.
All right. Now, something else I want to talk about, and I know our listeners probably will not be able to do a lot of them. Well, maybe somebody's got deep pockets and some free time before the holidays, but you've got the Wine and Music Festival. That's a pretty cool thing. I'm looking at the poster right now. Keb Moe's on there, Greg Billings on there, lots of wine, lots of music. And tell us about that and how people, if there are still tickets available, how they can be a part of this.
There's a few tickets available. VIP just sold out, which is totally cool. I decided I wanted to put on my own festival and curate the music that I wanted to hear. You know, it's cool to go into other people's festivals. They get to curate, you know, whatever the bands are. But if I had my say and I got to listen to whoever I wanted to listen to and hang out with whoever, who would it be? And, you know, will people buy tickets to see that? We'll see. But so far, so good. So I'm doing it in Punta Gorda, Florida, which is on the Gulf of Mexico. It's on the water. Beautiful. It's about an hour south of my hometown of Clearwater, St. Petersburg. And it's just going to be awesome. Keb Moe and Ivan Neville's band, Dumpsta Funk, and me and the Bone Shakers and Greg Billings' band. And the wines are all curated by Reserve Tastings by Eric Guerra. He's a guy that just knows wine in and out. He's run a bunch of amazing wineries in Napa, you know, Mum Napa, Vineyard 29, Kendall Jackson. And so this is a guy who totally knows wine. So it's not going to be that festival that you go to and, you know, you get to listen to music and you get your choice of Miller Lite or Bud Light, you know. So right. We're trying to up our game. I don't want either one of those. When I listen to my music. So I'm like, you know what? If it's my festival, we're going to drink better stuff.
There you go.
So, that's part of the fun. So it's November 16th through 18th. I mean, it's coming up, and it's next weekend, and I can't wait. So, yeah, if you're not doing anything next weekend, hop on a plane and let's go.
All right, so those listening out in the Florida area, you might want to get some tickets. They are still available, and you can get them online at Punta Gorda Chamber, is that correct, .com?
Yep, puntagordachamber.com, or you can go to my website, mindyabear.com, and it's on the tour page, and you can get tickets and information there. But I promise a good time and, you know, good stuff to drink.
All right. Now, the VIPs are sold out, so that's a good sign. That if this goes as well as you think, is this going to become an annual event down in your home state?
It is. Absolutely. I want to keep doing it, and I'd like to do it somewhere else as well. I'd like to have a few of them a year that we curate, and we have our friends come in. I mean, this year, you know, we chose Keb Moe. Keb Moe and I have played together since no one would come to see us. We were no one, less than no one. And so it's fun to have him, you know, be there for me my first year of the festival. And Ivan Neville, he and Randy go back, you know, 30 years, 25 years, something like that. And they've been great friends. So it's fun to have our friends come in, and they're people you want to hang with, and they're people you want to hear play, and it feels great. So hopefully we can do a couple of these around the country,
you know,
in the coming years, keep it going.
Michigan's really good wine country right across the Indiana border. I'm thinking maybe a Michigan Wine Fest with Mindy.
No, I'm not mad at that. That seems nice.
A lot of good vineyards out here. A lot of good...
going to talk about that.
Yeah, that's
like
some
that.
Good stuff. So let's play another holiday song from the new album. And again, the album's called All I Got for Christmas is the Blues. And I know a lot of people are thinking it's a little early for Christmas music. Thanksgiving's not even here yet, but that's okay. What would you like us to play? What do you want people to hear?
You know what? I say play them I Can't Wait for Christmas.
Okay.
Because, you know, it's not Christmas yet. And personally, I can't wait till Christmas. I love it. But, you know, I think it's a fun song.
All right, let's do it. This is I Can't Wait for Christmas off All I Got for Christmas is the Blues. It is available now on her website, and soon it'll be in my store, I promise.
Time.
Like many of us, Mindy Hebert and her Bone Shakers can't wait for Christmas. That's true. They just sang about it right there. That's track two off the new holiday album, Mindy Hebert and the Bone Shakers. And All I Got for Christmas is the Blues. And again, this is definitely not your standard holiday album, although you are going to be part of a standard holiday tour, but you're certainly going to stand out from the pack. We just talked about the wine festival you're going to do, and that wraps up on November 18th. You get about 3-4 days off to for well-deserved rest, I'm sure you're going to need after all the wine. But Black Friday, November 23rd, you start doing the Christmas tour with Dave Collins.
Yeah, I will not be shopping this year. It gets me out of holiday shopping.
That saves you some money.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, we start the day after Thanksgiving, and we literally go till 2 days before Christmas, and we are just in every city across the country playing Christmas music, and it's a fun bill. I mean, Dave Koz is awesome and a longtime friend. We've made records together.
You toured with him last time I met you was actually when you were here doing a Christmas tour 2 years ago.
Yeah, he's a great guy, and he's amazing, and Keiko Matsui is going to be on it,
Jonathan Butler,
and a girl named Shalea, who you might not have heard of, but she's just an incredible singer. Really cool, and you're just going to love her. So, yeah, it's a great lineup, and obviously each one of us kind of have our own style and flair, so it's a great lineup to kind of get some different stuff going and get in the holiday spirit.
I interviewed Jonathan, I want to say it was his first or second album. He was just coming out doing some guitar jazz stuff, kind of laid-back stuff. I have not heard that name in years. I didn't know he was still performing. What's Jonathan doing these days? Are you familiar with what he's been doing lately?
Yeah, actually, he just put out, I mean, this is a, you know, South African man who came out of apartheid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, just an incredible artist. He just did a record of Burt Bacharach covers.
Wow.
And I thought that was the most crazy thing in the world, you know, knowing him. And, you know, he does South African music and R&B and stuff. And then I heard it, and it's just so beautiful. I mean, the guy just puts his own spin on stuff, and It's really awesome. So, you know, he's still making records. He's still out there doing his thing. And if you come December 7th in, you know, Chicago for the Chicago Theater, you'll definitely see him do his thing. And he's pretty magical.
I definitely want to see him play. He's one of those artists that, you know, you like their music and you never get to see him play, and then suddenly they're gone. And I've never had the opportunity to see him perform. I do love his music, and I think that's going to be a highlight of that tour and that show, after you, of course.
Of course.
Now, do you guys each do your own set, and then do you get together for like a holiday sing-along, or how does it work? I can't imagine doing a Christmas tour, which is all about camaraderie, friendship, family, and then not playing together, which is, of course, what music is all about.
Yeah, no, we're playing together all the time, and we're using each other for, you know, everything on you know, our tunes, and there are a few songs that we're doing, you know, kind of as ourselves without the other ones, but most of the stuff we're kind of, you know, just getting everyone involved, and we're coming on and off stage with each other, just doing our thing. So it's really, it's a cool way to do it, because you do get me on stage alone with my thing for maybe one song, but the rest of the stuff is, you know, Jonathan's going to be singing background, or, you know, Dave's going to be playing the horn parts with me, or that kind of stuff, that it is that kind of Christmas camaraderie, and you're making use of the talent that you got in the room instead of, hey, go have a drink and I'll be doing my thing. Yeah, yeah. That's the fun of it, that you get to make music with each other and make the most of it.
Again, Chicago Theater, December 7th. That's going to be here before you know it. Get your tickets. Now, you're doing, the thing about Christmas that always seem to baffle me with artists is you got such a short, small window to play the tours, release the records, sell enough records to make it worth doing, and it's also a glutted market because there's only so many weeks, and it seems like every artist at some point is releasing a Christmas album. How do you not get lost in the mix?
I think it's hard not to, you know. But I think me, along with most of my friends, didn't get into music to get rich, you know? So it's, he has to look at it and go, you know, I'm making my music and I'm putting it out there. And I think at a certain point, if people like it, they're going to go find it. They're going to go sift through all the stuff and they're going to go get it. They're going to go to your cool record store because they know you curate cool stuff. Or they're going to go to the, you know, whatever, the playlist they like or whatever, and who they trust, and go check it out. So yeah, I'm not too worried about it. I totally know it's the glut that's on the market, but I just so wanted to make a Christmas record, and I'm so proud of it, and it's so fun. It's something I've always wanted to do, so I can check that one off the list.
All right. Now, the thing is, too, is obviously it takes time to record. And as you mentioned, we just got done with Halloween. You're even wondering if that was the right time to release it because it was still October. How do you get in the mood to record a Christmas album? You had to do this at some point while you're on the road during the summer months.
Yeah, we recorded in July, and it was so unnatural. So decorated the whole studio up. I mean, it was overdone. It wasn't like we put up a few lights. I covered the place in lights. It was nuts how much we just went crazy making it Christmassy, so that when we walked in, it was just a winter wonderland. We even had, you know, those things that put snow up on the wall.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like a you know, kind of a projector that puts snow. We had snow on the walls. We went nuts. So you can see it. We put up a music video for All I Got for Christmas is the Blues, and it's up on my website, MindyAbear.com, and up on my YouTube channel. And so you can see the snow on the walls and all the lights around, and, you know.
So that's actual recording of it then? The video is you recording it?
Exactly. Yeah, we just did the making of. Absolutely. Oh. I think it's fun when you see it going down, like the, you know, you see the real thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's 9 songs on the album. Of course, Run, Rudolph, Run you did last year. So you did all 8 of these in how much time in that studio?
2 days.
Wow.
Yeah, we just went in and went for it and put them down. And the band's still good. You know, there's no magic to it. It's not like we had to fix stuff in the mix. And not like we had a bunch of background vocalists come in. It was all us. And, you know, the band is just so strong. You go in and have a good time and then go have dinner.
Right. Now, because this is an ensemble tour, this Christmas tour with Dave Koz, the whole Bone Shaker band is not with you, but you are bringing Randy. Is that correct?
Yep. Randy Jacobs is going to be there, and he's worked with Dave Koz a long time, and obviously he and I have worked together a long time, so it worked out for everyone. We could all have our cake and eat it too. Mm-hmm. And it's nice to have, you know, one of the Bone Shakers with me. It makes it a little more Bone Shaker-ish.
Right. Now, how much music from the new album are you going to be able to play? Obviously, everyone is going to be performing some of their own songs. Are you all doing strictly holiday songs? Are you doing one or two of your hits with a couple of holiday songs? What's the set breakdown? What's the groove of the show?
That's a great question. We're mixing it up. We're totally mixing it up. I'm doing a couple songs from our new Christmas record, and then I'm going to do a couple songs from my first CD. And, you know, so I'm really mixing it up from, you know, first to last, and then a few in between. I'm going to do some songs from our East West Sessions CD, which mm-hmm. came out last year. And, you know, so each person gets, you know, a little more than a handful of songs to do that are really their choice off their record. And, you know, some other people are going to come in and guest on them and play. And so it is fun that you get it mixed up between Christmas and then our own solo stuff. I don't know. I don't want to do like a full Christmas, you know, concert. I just think at a certain point, people want to hear the songs that they know you for, too. Mm-hmm. So I really feel strongly like you got to do both. You got to do some of your own songs and then, you know, some of the Christmas stuff and get people in the spirit. But you'll definitely walk away in the Christmas spirit after this concert. Right. I promise.
When you say first album, are you talking about Always and Never the Same? That far back?
Oh, no, actually. I'm thinking my first record with Verve, but I love that you know about that record.
Okay, because I was going to say, that was kind of a lost treasure, and I thought, if you're going to resurrect that, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. No, actually, that record, you know, not many people know about that record, and it's on my website. It came out in 1999, and... You know, it's all pop rock songs, and, mm-hmm. and it's so much fun. And, when I came back, I made that record while I was touring with the Backstreet Boys.
I was going to say, you did Mandy Moore, Backstreet Boys, so that is pop does yep. not surprise me. I mean, that was the world you were in at the time.
So I was immersed big time, playing for like 60,000 people a night, just in the thick of it. And I came off the road, and Verve Records came to one of my shows, and they were like, we'd like to sign you, and you know, we'd love you to do some more saxophone, we think that's cool. And I was like, I'm all about that. That'd be cool to do more saxophone. So, you know, I demoed up a few things. So I've always kind of counted that record as, you know, that hidden treasure, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
But no, we'll be playing songs from my first record. It just happens that way, that came out on Verve.
Okay. And again, all the music is still available on your website, correct?
Absolutely. We got everything. We even have sheet music to all the records, because I love that people have their kids play along, and, you know, there's a bunch of people that play along. So we've got sheet music. We've got all my records, and, mm-hmm. well, we have the vinyl as well, which is fun.
Right.
And T-shirts and jewelry and all kinds of, you know, fun girl power stuff for my song Pretty Good for a Girl. So, yeah, we have fun stuff.
Now, you are very much involved in the education process as well when you can. I know you do a lot to turn people on to music and get younger folks involved with instrumentation. You mm-hmm. actually, I think last time we talked, you were working with our mutual friend Jules Follett and doing some university stuff for students. Are you still doing anything like that at this point? Are you still with the NARIS board in L.A. there? Or?
Absolutely. You know, Jules does so much incredible stuff with the sessions, and so I did one of her sessions
it was in Joliet.
And it was just, she does amazing work, just really inspiring kids and getting them really, you know, great information that they can use to, you know, further their education and kind of know where they're going with it. And I'm always involved with different things as they come along. I was just on the phone with University of Miami. I think I'm going to go down there and speak to them about diversity and, you know, making a place for women and you know, people of any minority to, mm-hmm. you know, get more involved and be more accepted in, you know, music schools and in music in general. And yeah, as you said, I've been involved in the Recording Academy for a long time. I'm now a national trustee for the Recording Academy, which kind of means that you can help choose, you know, what the priorities are of, you know, our music community. You know, obviously the Recording Academy is kind of the kingpin of, you know, the music business.
Right. So, well, they're the Grammy people, but you guys do much more than just the Grammys.
Yeah, I thought it was just a show when I was a kid, you know, but now that I know better, I'm involved and I want to, you know, be a part of what they're doing. You know, what they're doing with music education for kids is stunning. And I don't think many people know this, but they've created something called the Grammy Music Education Coalition. And they've brought, you know, all these amazing charities that give to music education and try and, you know, fill that blank in the schools. They've brought them together and they've unified them. And, you know, we can use the resources from all of them to create a bigger bang. And it's pretty incredible. They're starting in 3 different cities. I know Philadelphia is one, Nashville is one, I think New York is one as well. And they're giving, I mean, tons of money to the school districts there. And they're saying, what do you need? Do you need teachers? Do you need curriculum? Do you need, you know, instruments? And they're filling in the blanks with all of the unification of all of these charities. And it's going to be amazing. So I'm really proud to have been a part of that and continue to be a part of that. But the Recording Academy and the Grammy organization is just doing so much behind the scenes to help further music for our kids. It's great.
Are you seeing more girls getting into music because of the Pretty Good for a Girl campaign you did, as well as your work with the Academy and other educational things? Are you seeing girls finally saying, hey, you know, maybe I can do that. Look at what Mindy's doing.
Yeah. You know what? I'm really, I'm honored to be, you know, someone who's out there in the public eye and could be a role model for these girls who are coming up as instrumentalists or singers or songwriters. And when I was a kid, I wasn't really thinking about if I was looking at a woman or a man. I didn't have a lot of female role models as an instrumentalist, you know, so it just didn't occur to me. But boy, people come to my concerts. They bring their kids to my concerts, their daughters especially. And it's just, it's cool because I think when a young girl sees someone who's a woman up there doing something they'd like to do, it makes it real for them. It makes it seem like, oh, well, she's doing it. Mm-hmm. Wow, I could do that. And it never occurred to me till, you know, I was touring with the Backstreet Boys and it was all girls in the audience. And I just started getting just thousands of emails like, oh my God, I'm going to practice more. I'm going to do this. I've never seen a girl playing an instrument like that. This is so cool. So now I'm incredibly cognizant that, you know what, there are girls on their way up, mm-hmm. and we are their role models, and we should be good role models. And there are so many great women role models out there as instrumentalists, as vocalists, as musicians, as writers. And I'm proud, proud, proud that now this generation gets to grow up with some great role models to look to in a lot of different areas.
Well, this summer I saw Paul Rogers is a big supporter of our shelter from Bad Company, and Paul put us on the list and donated some tickets for us to raffle for the Stars Align tour. And I had a chance to see Jeff Beck's group and talk about some amazing women musicians. Rhonda Smith on bass.
Yeah, wasn't
Rhonda
with? Yep. Wow. Rhonda's great.
And the cellist he had, Vanessa, I think it was Vanessa Smith, if I remember right, but she was amazing. And it made me think of you while I was watching that show going, you know what? I'm more cognizant of it. I'm watching the stages saying, there's a woman, and there's a woman, and there's another woman. And you know what? They're better than half the men I've seen. And I think I owe that to you because you've made me aware of that. And not that it was a misogynistic thing with me before, but you've made it more on my radar now.
Oh, I love that. I think it's cool, and I'm with you. it wasn't on my radar. I never thought about being a girl. You know, I started playing saxophone. No one told me it was odd for a girl to play saxophone. Mm-hmm. So it was way too late. And but now I'm completely aware, and it's really fun to see women flourishing. And it's not easy, you know. It is different for women than men, and it's just great to be a part of it, to be a part of that glass ceiling breaking and shattering all around us.
Right.
It's cool to just see all these incredible women. Yeah.
Now, there's one thing I do want to touch on with you, and that is you are from a musical family. It's in your genes. You're the daughter, grandmother, or granddaughter, rather, of working musicians. What does the family think of your accomplishments? And what was Christmas like, real quick, at your house?
Yeah.
Did you guys all do a lot of music?
Christmas was cool at our house. There was a lot of good food because my grandmother just cooked like crazy. She was a big girl.
Mm-hmm.
She's an opera singer, so you know, just stereotypically, she had to be a big girl,
right?
So a lot of great food, oyster stuffing. You know, we're in Florida, and you know, all kinds of stuff like that, pies, all that. But there was music. Like, we had a piano, and my grandmother would sit there, and we'd sing songs together, and it was a cool place to be, and it was cool to just kind of sit and play. So I'd bring my sax out, and we'd play stuff. My dad would sit down at the piano, or he'd bring his sax out. And we'd just all sing, you know, Christmas songs and play, and it was really fun. And it's fun to come from a family that, you know, music is just kind of a normal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my grandmother would always be singing or playing or doing something, sitting down with me at the piano, or, you know, I'd come home from school sometimes, and my dad would be recording a band in our house. And we didn't have a big house, you know. I'd walk in, like, the drums would be in the living room, and there'd be cables all going into the third bedroom, and someone would be singing into my closet. And, you know, it's a crazy way to grow up. But I look back and just think, what a cool thing that music was
cool.
Just everywhere, and it was just normal, and it was fun, and I never thought twice about it. And now I realize, not everyone comes home to their grandmother singing arias,
right?
And you know, their dad having some rock band in there, just getting crazy and all over the house, you know.
Well, if you have family coming home to Chicagoland, take them to see Mindy and the Dave Koz Christmas tour, Friday, December 7th, Chicago Theater. The album is out. It's called All I Got for Christmas is the Blues, and we're going to close out with a final track. Mindy will be back in January working with Jim Peterik in the world stage, and we'll talk again with her then. I would love to have you back in January if you'd be so kind.
We should do it, absolutely.
All right, let's play a final song. Mindy, before I let you go, pick one.
I say play the ballad. This is the second side of the single, and it's a song that I wrote that I just think it's the more soft side of Christmas.
And this is
the best part of Christmas.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us. Be safe on the road. Enjoy your wine.
Ah, thanks, Tom.
I'll see you on the 7th.
All
righty. Bye-bye. Mindy Hebert, the Bone Shakers, and the best part of Christmas. Thank you for listening to Public Radio and supporting Midwest Beat. Adios.
On the windowsill, and the cards are all signed. My heart's at a standstill, 'cause you're on my mind. The song keeps on playing over the carols outside, and I can't keep from smiling. Feels like forever since I've had you here by my side. And the best part of Christmas, after all this time, the best part of Christmas is you by my side. We'll be right back. in this cool starry sky.